Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone out there. It looks like the introduction has not gone on, and we'll just wait for it or just start talking. My internet connection is so slow today that everybody spins and doesn't move at all. So we shall just go ahead into talking, and if anybody is out there that can hear me, please signal me somehow, either on the live chat or send me an email or Skype. But here we are, and this is Debbie Ruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community. I am taking out of our busy day to begin with some instant to chat about current events and read the words of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann in his Organon of Medicine. Today is September 15th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 93. I appreciate it when folks out there are listening and joining me. Today's inspiration comes from Facebook, where there are people meeting and greeting each other every single day and sending out messages of what they've learned and how they share their lives together. Harry Shade has sent a statement from his really good cook, Ashley, who I'm just learning about, has a new book and is quite a famous guy. He said he is too beautiful to share. So it says, quote, look at everything and everyone as if it was the first time that you have seen it and as if it will be the last time you will see it. Acting like it's the first time will put you in awe, and at it as if it's the last time will give appreciation. Quote, Kurik Ashley. And I did actually go over, click his name, and friend him on Facebook, finding many, many wonderful inspirational quotes, which I will share with you in the coming weeks. In addition to that, we have another quote, if I can find it in my notes, from, quoted, William Faulkner. This is on Twitter. M. Bono Net says, the man who removes a mountain begins by carrying away small stones. And we can take that into our lives and to know that we don't expect everything to happen all at once, but we have to take it little by little. And each day we are reading just portion of the Organon so that we can gain a mountain, or here it is removing a mountain, so paving our way to new pathways. And one more is from Twitter by FireJB, and it's a quote from Lou Holtz. I might have said this one yesterday, but it's worth repeating. Life is 10% what happens to you, and 90% you respond to it. It looks like my internet might be back up, and I am seeing quite a few people out there on the live chat on HWC. Thank you very much. I had a conversation with someone in the community who was kind of telling me how difficult it is for students to comprehend the Organon. And it's possible to read Organon because of the highfalutin, pretentious, and fancy words that are really too difficult to comprehend. This is a one way that you can get a handle on it, just doing it little by little, removing one stone at a time. Here we are reading through the words slowly in order to appreciate the gift of understanding homeopathy, the philosophy, and the practical methods by which a skilled physician and artist may come to recognize what the presenting symptoms are before him as he listens and looks at the patient, that the individual is expressing himself or herself and is in need of healing. And I just kind of was thinking, do you remember taking art appreciation in school or music appreciation? I believe it was an elective for me. And there we learned first a little bit about notes, about history, about the artist. We learn about the composer, what it is that's giving us this piece of finished work to appreciate, and we learn to listen to the music. We learn to listen to the melody and the signatures, the time signatures, the cleft, what the pitch is, surrounding harmonies, the supporting themes. We recognize and listen for the instrumentation and who is playing the solo or the duets, whether there are strings or horns. Who is taking the lead and who is following, is playing an echo? There is so much to appreciate music. And, I mean, you can come from a place of innocence, but you can enrich the experience with a little bit of knowledge. And I feel this is the same as with learning homeopathy. There's so much to gain, so much appreciation, and it takes time. If you start by learning the scales, and you've heard this before, every teacher will tell you the same three words, and it's not I love you, it's practice, practice, practice. So practice makes perfect. And the question for us is, how do we, all of the homeopaths, the beginners and the ones who have been doing it all their lives, how do we bring them to a higher level to increase their knowledge and their skill? Of course, we're going to learn from those who have been the ones doing it for years and years, but still everyone is reaching to be better, to a higher level of perfection. So we need to recognize also in ourselves what needs to be healed. And as a I do believe, or as a homeopathic teacher, we are given students to us in return. So whatever pushes our buttons, the student comes along and pushes them. We improve and learn to teach better. We need to learn how to discern the themes. We need to learn the symptoms. We need to understand what it is in the patient that needs to be healed. And so I kind of went on a little bit of an introduction that Homeopathy World Community Talk Radio is really just about together, about reading day by day and improving ourselves. And we do know it is not that easy. In the world news, I was reading, I heard on the radio first, and then I got a message that the companies are trying to change of corn syrup. Everyone knows that, most everyone who's interested in health and healing and natural foods knows that corn syrup is not really the best thing to be eating. And what is happening is, since the companies who produce it are getting maligned and feeling like they're going to lose, actually, they are going to try to change the name of corn syrup to, I think it's corn sugar, and see if people can be fooled that way. I think that a lot of people are trying to get to put a new spin on things today. For instance, that big oil spill, do you remember, down in the Gulf of Mexico? I remember they wanted to change their name also. I heard a little rant about that. So, you know, just keep your eyes open and look for the truth, and you will find it if you stay on the cutting edge and be discerning about what you're hearing and what you're reading. And that is exactly what we're going to do. On our network itself, we continue to have many new cured cases being posted. We thank all of the members who are doing that. There are continued conversations about single remedies versus combinations. All four replies. This is a really big thread going on. And I would like to also remind everyone, when they write an article on your blogs or on the discussion, to put the keywords into the titles. That way we know exactly what it's all about and we can find it better in the search engines. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and do our reading for today. And it is going to be, again, aphorism number 70 because I never really finished it. I thought I had, but there's still more to go. I will start from the beginning and read all the way through today. Aphorism number 73. As regards acute diseases, they are either of such a kind as attack beings individually, the exciting cause, being injurious influences to which they were particularly exposed, excesses in food or an insufficient supply of it, severe physical impressions, chills, overheating, dissipations, etc., or physical irritations, mental emotions, and the like, are exciting causes of such acute febrile affections. In reality, however, they are generally only a transient explosion of latent sore, which spontaneously returns to its dormant state if the acute diseases were not violent in character or were soon quelled. Or they are of such a kind as attack several at the same time, here and there, sporadically, by means of meteoric or telluric influences and injurious agents. The susceptibility for being morbidly affected, by which is possessed by a few persons at the time. Allied to these are those diseases in which many persons are attacked with very similar sufferings from the same cause, epidemically. These diseases generally infectious, contagious, when they prevail among thickly congregated masses of human beings. Thence arise fevers, and we do have a footnote, in each instance of a peculiar nature, and because the cases of disease have an identical origin, they set up in all those they affect an identical morbid process, which when left to itself terminates in a moderate period of time in death or the calamities of war, inundations, and famine are not infrequently their exciting causes and producers. Sometimes they are peculiar acute miasms, which recur in the center, hence known by some traditional name, which either attack persons but once in a lifetime, as the smallpox, measles, whooping cough, the ancient smooth red, bright red, scarlet fever, the mumps, etc., or such as recur frequently in pretty same manner, the plague of the Levant, the yellow fever of the seacoast, the Asiatic cholera, etc. Moving on to the footnote for aphorism number 73, the first is, the homeopathic physician who does not entertain the foregone conclusions devised by the ordinary school, who have fixed upon a few names of such fevers, each mighty nature dare not produce any others, so as to admit of their treating these diseases according to some fixed method, does not acknowledge the names gall fever, bilious fever, typhus fever, putrid fever, nervous fever, or mucus fever, but treats them each according to their several peculiarities. And the last footnote for aphorism number 73 states, subsequently to the year 1801, a kind of purpura miliaris, rude vonk, which came from the west, was by physicians confounded with scarlet fever, notwithstanding that they exhibited totally different symptoms, that the latter found its prophylactic and cure remedy in belladonna, the former aconite, and that the former was merely sporadic, while the latter was invariably epidemic. of late years as if the two occasionally joined to form an eruptive fever of a peculiar kind. Neither the one nor yet the other remedy alone will be found to be exactly homeopathic. And that is quite a lot to go through. We talked great last 2 days about psora, about miasm, but here I would like to talk a little bit about the three modes that he has presented for us in aphorism number 73. There are acute illnesses that come individually, and then there are sporadic and finally epidemic. Those are the three different types of attacks on the individual that we're talking about here. The sporadic one, he relates to means of meteoric or telluric influences and injurious agents. And when we look up, it's pertaining to the earth as a planet, and meteoric is relating to and denoting atmosphere or precipitation, condensation, something that it also has a connotation for acting swiftly and fast and speedily. It is meteoric. Now, in the cases which Hahnemann is presenting to us, if I am not incorrect in my reading, sporadically I'm hearing is something that occurs to a few people because of the weather or because of conditions. I'm thinking specifically to something like a Dulcomera illness that comes on when the weather changes at the end of the season. That affects a lot of people. It says it affects a few persons at one time, but it doesn't affect everyone. Everyone who is congregated together, or as he shows for the last one that he's differentiating, is a little bit different. So I hope that is a correct reading and people are in agreement with that. If you have other concepts regarding sporadic, that something that comes every so often when we say sporadic, it's not consistent, but it happens to certain individuals, maybe in the spring, maybe in the fall, maybe in the winter. And then epidemically, this is something that is more bound to occur to people who are susceptible because they're underlying miasm. So it is something that is infectious and contagious. And when people are in close proximity, then it's something that it's catching. And those are the three types of things that he's talking about attacks individuals, where people can get over naturally, but in a miasmatic state, he seems to say in aphorism 73 that this is something that is needs assistance. It's the individual becomes helpless in the case and really does not have the strength within their vital force to remove that illness. And the other thing that he says here is something about the morbid processes that occur during times of war, inundations, famines. And I'm wondering if I could add floods, because here again, thinking about Pakistan right now and the situation that they're in with millions of people being displaced and the floodwaters being filled with morbific agents. And we have a brand new video that was just posted today. If my computer was working a little bit better, I'd be able to tell you who it is that posted it. And he is showing, it was by Dr. Kabir Ahmed. Thank you very much for posting it. It is a little video about the 2010 flood in Pakistan. And it shows a young boy whose skin is totally covered with a section of skin, and this is due from supposedly that he is washing in the floodwaters. And I am curious to note whether this is now becoming sort of epidemic. Because, you know, when situations arise such as this, that when situations arise, the contagious agents begin to really spread very rapidly, so that and other kinds of diseases occur once there is a catastrophe on the earth. Okay, so I see that we have some people who are on the live chat today, and I appreciate that Marilyn Friedman is posting some comments. She's giving a really good example. She says, when there's an example of when we get a headache when the barometer is low, and so people do feel the meteoric pressures of the atmosphere. Somebody can say, I feel the weather is changing. And tell me if this is also something in a chronic condition of rheumatism where people feel these meteoric changes and their bones will ache. Also, she says, without us being tainted with a miasm, we would not get it. And acute is an opportunity to bring a person to a state of healing. Thank you so much, Marilyn. I appreciate your contribution to the conversation today. Yes, I suppose we think of all of our illnesses as a gift, as something that helps us to move in a healing direction. And the fact that Hahnemann was able to provide us with his knowledge about miasms, he tried so many patients, so many people with remedies that seemed to should have acted, and they didn't, and or a person would relapse. And he wanted out what was it that prevented the person from coming to a complete cure. And that's where he found out that there is underlying something underneath these predispositions, these matic, the three miasms. And let me see if we have the psora, the psychosis, and the syphilitic miasm are the three. Okay, so in our reading, if there is anything else that we needed to highlight, I had the reading a little bit in the Organon of Medicine art by Lee Brewster O'Reilly, and that's also a really good book to take a look at because she divides the aphorisms into sections. And so this section, chapter 2, is Understanding Disease. This is carries us from aphorism 72 through aphorism number 81. And what does she say here about the sporadic acute diseases attack several people at the same time here and there sporadically, occasioned by meteoric or telluric influences and malignancies? Only a few people possess the receptivity to become disease aroused at the same time. Once again, it's not everyone is affected during these occasions, just a few people who are susceptible to or receptive, as she says. That's a nice word to use. Endemic acutes are when people are crowded together and have this contagious and they fall ill. And they're probably in quite a state when they have had a traumatic experience occur to them, or there is, and we talk about the epidemics of influenza, which again, there is a mental, emotional component of fear and trepidation and seeing other people who fall ill and being afraid that you will be one of those people also. And let's see if there's anything else right over here. Of course, Hahnemann names quite a few of the illnesses, and that you can get lifetime immunity from the ones that come once. But if you're vaccinations, then today you would need to have more booster shots because it is not a lifetime immunity. It is only temporary. And I hope that in the future we will have more guest appearances from Alan Phillips, who is the expert on the legalities of vaccination. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read aphorism number 74 and get a head start on that. It says, among chronic diseases, we must still, alas, reckon commonly met with artificially produced in allopathic treatment by the prolonged use of violent heroicins in large and increasing doses, by the abuse of calomel, corrosive sublimate, mercury ointment, nitrate of silver, iodine, and its ointments, opium, valerian, donor bark and quinine, foxglove, prussic acid, sulfur, and sulfacid, perennial purgatives, venesections, shedding streams of blood, leeches, issues, setons, etc., whereby the vital energy is sometimes weakened to an unmerciful extent, sometimes, if it does not succumb, gradually normally deranged by each substance in a peculiar manner, in such a way that in order to maintain life against these inimical and destructive attacks, it must produce a revolution in the organ and either deprive some part of its irritability and sensibility or exalt these to an excessive degree, cause dilatation or contraction, relaxation or induration, or even destruction of certain parts, and develop faulty organic alterations here and there, the interior or the exterior, cripple the body internally or externally in order to preserve the organism from complete destruction of life by the ever-renewed hostile assaults of destructive forces. And that is aphorism number 74, which also has some footnotes. And it states, the only possible case of plethora shows itself with the healthy woman several days before her monthly period with a feeling of certain fullness of womb and breast, but without inflammation. And I think I'm hearing a little bit of comments coming in. So Marilyn is posting a comment. Nothing has changed over the years since Hahnemann's time. A lot of chronic disease are iatrogenic in nature due to medical treatments. Aha. Thank you, Marilyn. Yes, that is basically what he is saying. He is really itemizing it for us. He's giving us blow by blow exactly what were the treatments being used in his age. And we are still doing quite a bit. What really impressed me was his constant use of the word attack. And in a way, we have talked quite about this concept of fighting the disease. And we will continue with reading aphorism number 74 with a little bit more explanation and commentary in our next session. Today, I want to thank everyone for listening. I want those people who, especially Marilyn, who has been commenting. And I wish after a really, really good day, an uplifting day. And keep reading and keep learning. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopath Debbie Brooke on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.